For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to a New York Catholic Conversation. My name is Deacon John Catalano, and I'm joined as always by my good friend from St. Agnes on Long Island, Frank Alasia. Hey, Frank, how are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good, Deacon. How's everything?
Everything is fine. We've got a good topic this time around, the virtue of humility.
Yes.
Now, we know that we receive at baptism the theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. Theological because they come from God. They're gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we can live in them. We live in faith. We live in hope. We live in love. But there are other virtues that are well worth having, like patience and kindness and humility. They're not theological per se, so that they have to be acquired or worked toward or attained. And they are not destinations themselves. They are pathways to some other place. Like the goal is not to acquire patience, but to exercise patience. And it's the same thing with humility, right?
Yeah, I think St. Bernard of Clairvaux says it kind of best. He says, the three most important virtues are humility, humility, and humility.
Yeah.
I think the reason is that, you know, if you get that one right, the other ones fall into place. You know, the opposite of humility is pride, right? And I think, you know, the other sins are all kind of symptomatic sins, I call them. You know, whatever sin you commit, the root of it is pride.
Yeah.
So if you've been confessing impatience for 30 years, what you're really doing is you have a leak in your roof and you paint the ceiling. You can't do that. You know, you have to fix the roof. So I think that when you look at it that way, you really realize like how important it is to be humble and start with a humble base.
Yeah. You mentioned pride, which is excellent to start off with, because that reminds us of the ego, right? And
yeah,
right from a young age, we develop the idea of mine. I, me, myself, this is mine, that's mine. It's my life, it's my career, it's my social life, it's my business life. And it's all a story. It's like a mental image of what you are. It's the story of me. Hey, let me tell you about myself.
Exactly.
It wants to be special, it wants to be right, but it's not, it's a false self, and it's driven by fear usually. And it separates us from our true selves and from God. There really is no such thing as my life. I don't really have a life. I am life. And the life that I am is created by God. I mean, just take an example of like when we sit in a conference room in a meeting with seven or eight other people. What do you think about during the meeting? I know I start judging the first person that speaks. I either feel superior to him or inferior. Or I'm thinking about what I'm going to say so I can show people how smart I am. That's all ego. And it has nothing to do with virtue. Am I right?
Right. It's taking because I have a need.
Yeah.
Okay. I am refusing to die to myself. You know, I will not humble myself. I often think of the little flower. She said it the best, Saint Therese. You know, she called it her little way, you know, simple Carmelite nun in poor health. She never thought about great things. What she decided to do was to become small. No matter how small her actions were or routine, she did them with as much love as possible. And I often look in our everyday life. It's pretty simple. You know, we have daughters, right? Both of us. And, you know, I say to them, when you date somebody, go to dinner. When you go to dinner, look how they treat the waiter. If they don't treat the waiter right, that's the last date. Okay? Because, you know, people who are in the service business, like who do stuff for us,
yeah,
we have to treat them. We have to treat them the right way, you know. And think about it: how will you treat God that we don't see if you can't treat a person like that in the proper way?
You're funny. You tell your daughter to drop them right away. You sound like Sonny in The Bronx Tale about the girl unlocking the car door. Yours is the Alasia test, though. I got it.
Exactly.
Well, in terms of, you know, service and so forth, at the Last Supper, look, he rose from the supper. He took off his outer garments, it says in the Bible. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. He washed their feet. Now they objected, Peter objected. And he said, look, I've given you a model to follow so that as I have done for you, you should also do. And the model is that of a servant leader, right? It starts with the feeling that you want to serve, to serve first. That's the first thing you want to do, and then lead. It's different than other leadership models in that you make sure that the other person's highest priority needs are being served. And you ask yourself, do those served grow as people? Do they, while being served, become healthier or wiser, freer, more autonomous, more likely themselves to become servants? That's how Jesus wants us to lead, by being servants first.
Yeah, exactly. And we, you know, think about this. The most powerful weapon to conquer the devil is humility, because he doesn't know it at all. He doesn't know how to apply it, and neither does he know how to defend himself against it, St. Vincent de Paul says. And that's very true. You know, think of the rich man who filled his barns with grain. You know, he had no God perspective. His whole perspective was a worldly perspective instead of thinking about, you know, the riches in heaven. We have to have an eternity mindset. And that will change the way we live. And that will make us realize how important it is to be humble. And, you know, it's not, like you said, not all about you or not what you do. Because pride is really stealing from God, because he's given us everything. Everything that we have comes from him. So to think that we are doing this ourselves is like being like the magician who believes his own magic, right?
Yeah. You know, Eucharist itself means thanksgiving, and the celebration at Mass, that's what holds the church together, all participating and becoming the body of Christ. And I think for sure that humility is the pathway to gratitude. As you said earlier, once we die to self, we now see our way to become grateful to God for what we have.
Right. The Mass is so key, like you said, because it is a mystery. It surpasses our ability to understand. It takes humility to fathom the awesomeness, you know, of the Mass.
Yes.
You know, God said it, we believe it, and that's it. That's a true sign of humility.
I think there's some things that we can do. I know Mother Teresa made some suggestions as to how to achieve humility. I mean, first of all, I think
right.
We should try to take 5 minutes every day to just sit in silence with God. I know it's hard for people to do, but don't think about the past. Try not to worry about what's coming up tomorrow, next week, you know, the future. But just be quietly present with God. And if you're going to think a thought, think about Jesus washing their feet. And then think about things like this. Try to accept corrections from people, right? Don't always be quick to answer and win the argument or with the clever response to everything, especially in this environment right now where everybody is answering, clapping back at each other about what's going on in the world. Try to recognize, but accept being slighted or forgotten or disliked. I mean, it's all not easy to do, but be kind and gentle, even under provocation. And
yeah.
Pray, ask God, how do you want me to serve you, Lord? And I think that helps get you through the door to humility, right?
Always start in the home. Think about practicing humility in your home. Learn to bite your tongue,
yes.
Learn not to say anything, right? Isn't it pride to always want the last word? Isn't it pride to running to defend yourself all the time?
I want to be right.
Exactly. If everyone tried that, how peaceful would your house be?
Yeah. And the great example of humility may be St. Joseph, who is not quoted as saying anything in the Bible, and yet the power of his love and strength has carried down through the centuries.
Exactly. I am meek and humble of heart. That's what Jesus tells us. And that's what you really, really, if you get that one right, all the other things will fall into place. It's not as easy as it sounds, but as long as you're aware of it and conscious of it, That's the main thing, to work on those things.
Let's keep working on it. Frank, I love talking about this subject, and I'd ask our friends to, hey, like us or follow us, depending on your podcast platform, and or send us an email at anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. That's anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. Frank, love you a lot. I'll talk to you next time, my man.
God bless, Deacon. Thanks.